The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
With Professor Emily Wilson of the University of Pennsylvania. Her new work is The Iliad, by Homer 2,700 years ago, and today rendered in iambic pentameter English. It's a joy to speak of these matters, even though everybody knows the ending. The ending has some surprises to me, because Achilles, having lost Patroclus, insists upon a funeral pyre, and there's violence in the funeral pyre. The 12 young men, boys, that Achilles has taken captive, he destroys on the funeral pyre, along with dogs, everything he throws in to the funeral pyre for Patroclus. But then it would appear that Achilles is accepting death on his own. I can't tell. Professor, I forgive me. I started reading this psychologically, and I know I shouldn't do that, but it's too tempting. What is Achilles coming to terms with when he goes from the funeral pyre to the funeral games?
I think he's coming to terms with the possibility that you can't be an ultimate winner. I mean, there were always going to be winners and losers, and that, in fact, in some way, all mortals are losers. Even somebody who's the son of a goddess, as he is himself, he still lost terrible things. He's lost both honor to Agamemnon, which I think by this point in the poem starts to seem relatively trivial, but he's also lost the dearest person he ever had, the person who was his family, his dearest friend, who with whom he spent the last 10 years or most of his life. He's lost him, and yet he also then has to somehow go on. And I think there's a sort of gradual process towards figuring out how can he go on after those terrible losses. And one stage in that, as you say, is both the funeral. So rituals of shared lamentation, shared expressions of grief are a kind of solution to must you grieve forever? If you can grieve together, maybe it doesn't have to last forever. And then also the sports, which throughout the Iliad, we've seen how the competitiveness of men who all want to be the best, and what happens if one man wins and one man loses. Earlier in the poem, that's always been the answer to that is death. If there's a quarrel, it ends in death. Whereas in the funeral games, for the first time, we see all these different, very competitive, very skillful men playing together. Some of them win, but there are prizes for everyone, and nobody kills each other over losing a sporting event. And so it provides a different model for how can competition coexist and without the society destroying itself.
There are suggestive moments in the funeral games. The one that I immediately, again, because I'm reading as a modern, well, modern in the 21st century, when he gives the prize to Agamemnon without, what is it, spear throwing, without making him contest.
Doesn't even have to do anything, yes.
What is that meant to convey? What are we supposed to make of this? He's forgiving Agamemnon. He's becoming blood brothers with him. Why did he do that?
I mean, I think you can, like so many moments in Homer, you can read it several different ways. I mean, you could read it that maybe this shows Achilles' graciousness and maturity, that he's able to respond to this man with whom he's been so absolutely furious for so long and graciously give him something without him even having to earn it. But you could also read it as a kind of sick burn, right? That he's saying, I don't think you could actually do anything, but let's just pretend that, let me just let you do what you always do anyway, which is get stuff without earning it.
I like that.
The way that Agamemnon works.
I like that version of participation, yes. Medal.
You showed up, you didn't do anything whatsoever, and that's what you keep doing. You show up and take other people's stuff. Okay.
Now, the close of this, there's no horse, there's no victory, there's no Odysseus sneaking in to steal the goddess Athena's statue. None of that happens. Instead, we have the voices of three women. And it is, again, it's so modern to have the women who are going to be enslaved and destroyed. They're going to see their lives, except for Helen, commenting at the end. How do you read that, Professor? Why did the poet or the poets end with the women's voices?
I mean, I think it's both modern and very, very ancient. I mean, the tradition of women singing lament goes back way before this poem was composed. It's a very, very ancient poetic genre. And the Iliad interweaves the type of poetry that's about celebrating mythical warriors' achievements with this different kind of poetry of women lamenting the dead. I mean, I said before that one of the big things women do is weave clothes for men, but the other big thing that women do in Homer is grieve for the dead. The ones who are left at the end of a war after the men have killed each other are these women. As you say, most of them will be enslaved, and those who won't, like Helen, have this ambiguous future ahead of them. The poem ends not with a ceasefire, but with a humanitarian pause, where Achilles has granted 12 days for the Trojans to hold a funeral for Hector, tamer of horses. And in the context of those, of that funeral, is the second big funeral in those last two books. We have the funeral for Patroclus, bookended with the funeral for Hector, which ends, of course, Patroclus doesn't have women to lament for him apart from Briseis, but Hector has all the women of Troy grieving for him and grieving also for their own future, where they won't have either their children, their husbands, or their homes, or their freedom anymore.
In the final 30 seconds that we have, and you're a very generous professor, again, I'm a modern reader. Is this about coming to terms with death? The whole Iliad, is that what it's teaching us? The deathless gods and you mortals?
I think death is central in this poem. Absolutely, yes. I mean, I don't think that's modern or ancient. People have died as long as there have been people. And the struggle to accept the fact that we die is so difficult for all of us. And it always was, even in the 7th century BCE.
And so we read this with the same comfort that they read it for 2,700 years. The book is The Iliad, all the noise, all the gore, all the drama, all the excitement. And there is Achilles, son of Peleus, the translator and note maker and extremely helpful Emily Wilson, Professor Emily Wilson. Audrey McDonald does the reading. I also recommend. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.